We're doing Chafetz Chaim, we're up to page Kuf Aleph, the fourth chapter, Klal Daled, the fifth paragraph, the letter He. And we had discussed that when a person sees someone doing something wrong, we have to give them the benefit of the doubt. There are circumstances where you know the person purposely did something wrong, so then sometimes you should talk to the person himself. There's no reason to publicize what the person did wrong. And now we're continuing with the letter Hey. Aval imu roe shachote, but if he sees that the person who did what was wrong, who me'avilim alitzim asonim lemochicham, he's someone, one of the foolish jokers who hate being rebuked. Kedichtiv al tochach litz benisneka. The verse says, don't try to rebuke a joker; he'll hate you for it. Uvaday lo itkablu dvarav boznav, and he will certainly not listen to you. Vanashim keilu benakelem lishnot beivaltam, and then it's very easy that the person will do it again. We turn the page on page Kuf Bet. It's very possible that he'll do the same thing again. So that's when you talk to the people who are responsible in the city. They have a responsibility to chastise him, to deal with him. You know, guys doing drugs. So the first thing you do, call the police. Maybe the first thing you do is you talk to his parents. Maybe the first thing you do is you talk to his educators, see who can help him. Maybe eventually you'll have to go, maybe. But first talk to the people who could help him get it right. And they're going to help him get it right for the future. And very often we're quick to go and do something that'll destroy the person's life. Who said that's right? Maybe the first thing is talk to the person. And it would seem that sometimes the right thing is to go to the relatives. If you think he's going to listen to them. Now this requires a lot of thought. You see, Moshe, Aaron and Miriam were talking there about their brother Moshe as they supposed he had a marital issue, and they were wrong. They shouldn't have been discussing his private, his personal life. So just because you mean well doesn't always mean you're entitled to talk to someone about it. But I could tell you that I had a friend back when, this goes back a decade and a half ago, that I felt was starting to have psychological problems, and I felt he needed help. And I went to his parents, and I said, you know, I don't know if you're following what's going on with your son, but he's learning diligently, he's a wonderful guy, but I think he's reaching a point where he needs help. And because no one had alerted them earlier, the guy had a lot of problems, and it took a long time to get him out of it. Sometimes by not alerting the closest relatives, you're doing the person the greatest disservice. If you're his friend and you see the person needs help, so help them get help. But again, v'chol kavanatam saper tiyeh l'shem shamayim. You have to make sure that your intention is for the sake of heaven. That means you won't have the conversation when unnecessary people are present. You'll make sure to say it to only the right person, only the right amount. You have to be careful not to do it because you have it in for the guy. You know, you're upset at him for something else, so you're going to talk to someone to help him, right? To help him. I just want you to know that so-and-so is such and such. Yes?
When should you tell the parents? When should you tell the friends? It's sometimes hard to tell.
Very hard. Very hard to tell. It's a very hard judgment call. It's very hard. I can tell you, it depends on a person's age. Saying at a young age, so then it's the parents' business. At an older age, so sometimes the parents are the problem. It's a tough call. Very often, an educator will know. Very often, if you know he has a close relationship with an educator, it could be a rabbi of a shul, it could be a teacher in school. Very often, if there's someone who's really close to them, they'll know who the right person to turn to will be. What I would caution is that not everyone is discreet. Sometimes you tell someone and that's it. You let the cat out of the bag and you could destroy a person's life that way.
Especially if they're married and they've got kids as well.
Or if they want to get married and someone's going to go and destroy their reputation. Saying it's you have to be very careful what you disclose about whom, when, and how. It's a very tough call. Vashoftim gamken yesu tachote be'atzneah. And if the judges of this town have to rebuke the person, they should do it privately. V'lo elbim panav barabim. Don't embarrass him publicly. Kedichtiv, as the verse says, although you have a commandment to rebuke your fellow man, don't do it in a way that you're causing new transgression in the way you're rebuking him. Now this is only if there are two people, if there are kosher witnesses who saw it. But if you saw it alone, so your testimony doesn't carry weight in court. So don't go to court. They won't listen to you. The verse says, so then the court can't listen to you. Now this is an oversimplification. There are circumstances where you do listen to a person. You know, a person comes in and says, so-and-so is dangerous. So-and-so is... we believe him. We take the necessary precautions. We don't say, we don't have two witnesses. Let's wait and find out. We don't do that. So sometimes you know a person's dangerous. Dangerous can be dangerous in many different ways. It could be dangerous to themselves. Could be dangerous to society. Could be dangerous to their family. V'amu Rabbeinu, our sages said that if a person, testifies alone, when he knows his testimony cannot be accepted in court, so all he's doing is giving him a bad name, so then he gets punished. Our sages say, Shlosha Kadosh Baruch Hu Sonam, there are three types of people God hates, and one of them is, he sees his friend doing something terribly wrong, and then he goes to court when the court can't believe him because he's a single witness, so why are you testifying? You guys know that. You've probably seen this in kids, the goody-goodies. Dad, I don't want to tell you what he did. I don't want to tell you, right? But if you know someone who's close to him, you can go over to them privately and talk to them about it. If you know, they'll believe you. The teacher can use the appropriate methods to help him repent, which will sometimes be to take a distance from the student. Tell him, look, I can't have people like you around. You have to shape up. But the teacher is not allowed to tell other people. Because even if he would have seen it himself, he's not allowed to tell other people. So this is a very, very, very tough call. But it's an important call. We had a student here many years ago who was very serious in his studies. He came for only a few months. And it was a year where we had a big group of young guys. So he was like 18, and we had another five or six young 18-year-olds with him. And a month into his stay, he was here a month, and he had 2 months left till he left. One of the students asked me for a meeting, not in the Mahon, far away from the Mahon. Fine, we have a meeting. What's the deal? This fellow, this guy who we all knew and we all liked, had a non-Jewish girlfriend who he intended to marry. And everyone knew it. All the students knew it. None of the staff knew it. So we couldn't help him because no one had told us. And after he said, I can't, I wanted to meet you far away from the Mahon. I'm embarrassed from all my friends because everyone knows it. And everyone agreed not to tell you guys. Well, did they do him a favor or a disservice?
Did he get married?
In the end, because he told me, I was able to bring it up with the guy. We spoke about it. It turns out that the girl had a Jewish father, a non-Jewish mother. And in the long run, she wanted to convert to Judaism. It was a long process, but that's irrelevant. The fact was, we could address it. We could bring up the topic with him. He was embarrassed to bring it up, but he was going to do the most destructive thing for his life. What's he going to do? So all his children won't be Jewish? Why should he do that to himself? And yet, in class, we never addressed it, we never dealt with it, and the guys were doing him a disservice by keeping it quiet, so we couldn't help him. At the end of the day, you're not doing a person a service, you're not helping them when you're necessarily keeping it quiet. The flip side is, you have to really think about who to talk to, when to talk to, why to talk. It's a very, very tough call. I know a person who was doing things that were inappropriate, and someone called him in and said to him, I know about it, and I'm about to go to the authorities with it. And you have to decide what we're going to do about it. So the person was father of a family, had children to marry, and he said to him, I appreciate it so much that you called me on it. so nice of you to be so honest with me. And he went and went to therapy and he got help and he started working on it. So in that case, the person called him on it and spoke to him directly about it. He said to him, you should know, I'm going to keep tabs on you. And if I know once that you fell, I'm going to publicize it to the world. So the guy had a sword over his head and he went and he worked on his problem. Sometimes the best thing you can do for someone is talk to them about it or find someone who's close to them to talk to them about it. A person that has a drinking problem and they're not going to deal with it, well, they're going to destroy their life with that drinking problem. If you're going to bury your head in the sand and say, well, I'm not his father, I'm not his mother, right, but his father and mother are obviously not doing anything about it. Very often, we can change people's lives. And sometimes what a friend can say, a parent can't say. And the changes a friend can affect, a teacher can't affect. We have responsibility. There's responsibility of a parent, there's responsibility of a teacher, there's responsibility of a classmate and a friend. So most often our advice is not wanted. Usually we say too much and people don't want to hear it. But there are times when we should speak up and then we choose to bury our head in the sand. And then we choose to avoid the discomfort. And sometimes we're doing the person the biggest disservice of their life by not talking to them, by not telling them. It's a very tough call. In all the other classes, I spoke about how it's not our job to go and tell someone they're doing something wrong. Mind your own business. We've been discussing that side of it many, many times. But there is a time where if you're not going to say it, you're really hurting the person. So that's something to think about. I was once teaching in an institution where for every hour I was supposed to teach, I was giving them 2 hours. Literally. For every hour I was supposed to teach, I was teaching 2 hours. Free. And at the end of the year, the CEO of the institution called me into his office and started giving me over the head. And I looked at him and I said, I don't understand. What do you want? What you asked for me, I did. And I did double what you asked for me. And his answer was, you invested time in areas that were not important to us. You educated, you taught. It's not what we wanted. We wanted different things developed in this school, and you developed. So I learned a lot from that conversation. I learned, number one, that sometimes you can be working very hard and giving someone double what they want, but if you don't take tabs and check, am I investing my energies where they want it, so then the fact that you did a good job, and that doesn't mean they're happy. The fact that you gave them much more than they paid you for, that doesn't mean they're happy. So that was a big lesson to me. And had he not said it to me, I would have never learned that lesson. Saying that there are lessons we have to learn in life. It's not comfortable.
They should have told you what you about the job.
Okay. There are always excuses. I could give you more excuses about why I was okay. Fine, the excuses are good, but if we want to learn from it, then we shouldn't use excuses. We should learn from it. I'll tell you one more thing that most people don't know. Most people don't know that your employer cares much more if you show up on time than if you stay late. You show up 5 minutes late and you stay an hour late. In his book, he doesn't care. You showed up 5 minutes late. He needs you there 5 minutes early. That's worth much more than staying the hour late. Most people have a hard time being there on time. They're very good at giving more time later. I'll stay late. The Talmud says that. Talmud says everyone finds it easier to stay up once they're awake. People can stay up late. But who can get up early and be there early?
Companies don't like that when you stay late. If you're working off the clock, they don't like that either.
Okay. But I'm saying that one of the key points, a relative of mine who's a manager, he said to me, my employees just don't get it. In my book, when they show up 5 minutes late, they're a bad worker. And I don't care how well they do other things. Those 5 minutes make a difference. Work has to start on time. Be here on time.
Why do you think that basically there's that extra value of the 5 minutes extra earlier?
If you're running a business, you want to know that at this hour, everything's working the way it should. And when people don't show up at that hour, then that's destructive to your business. And the extra hour he gives you at the end of the day is far less than those 5 minutes. The fact that at this hour you know everyone starts working, that helps everyone's productivity. There are businesses today that when they call a meeting, if they call it for 9 o'clock, at 9:01 the door locks. No one can come in. You showed up late, don't come in. You're not. We're starting on time. Believe me, the next time everyone shows up at 9. They know that they're not coming in at 9:01. So that's, you know, there's a line that says, we tend to think there are three options, early, on time, and late. There aren't. There are two options. Early is on time. You're either early or you're late. You're not on time. You walked in on the minute, you're not on time. Be there 5 minutes early, you'll be there on time. So we tend to think, let me get one more thing in. No, be there on time. So, okay, to be continued.